Welcome, everyone, to Digesting Dark. We're a podcast series all about diving as deep as we can into the caves, into Netflix's Dark, the German sci-fi series, which will be coming back for its third season at the end of June 2020. This podcast series is going to be diving super deep into Netflix's Dark. So before the new season comes out, we will be using this podcast to get people ready for that season. We're going to be rewatching every episode, one episode at a time, and talking about it with the knowledge that we have at the end of season two of Dark. And then once season three comes out at the end of June, on June 27th, 2020, we will be talking about each new episode of Dark one at a time, digesting each episode, just like the name of our podcast implies. We will be talking about every episode of Netflix's Dark. So let us introduce ourselves. We are brothers, which is good because this show is all about family connections. So my name is Zach Brooks, and I am joined by my brother.
I'm Aaron Brooks. I am the little brother, so the Mads in this situation.
Yes, and I am. That makes me the Magnus, then?
Yeah, I think so.
Nice.
We are Cronwalds.
Yes, so we are, we're family. We figured this is the perfect show to talk about because it is about family. Although I guess we could have chosen like Succession as well. That's another one about family. But this one is about like crazy generational connections between family members. So as I said at the top of this podcast, each episode in this series, we will look at an episode of Dark. This first episode, though, is all about convincing you why you should watch Dark. So if you've never watched Dark before, we hope you listen to this podcast and you will be convinced that you should start watching Dark. And if you have seen Dark before, hopefully this podcast will convince you to start rewatching Dark along with us and listening to our podcast companions on each episode as you go. So Aaron, why don't you start by telling me a little bit about how you discovered Dark, because you're the one who first told me about it and what you love about it so much.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember exactly how I came across it. I believe it was from like one of my favorite YouTube reviewers, though, Austin Burke, who has since, he continues to do movie reviews with the lack of movies coming out and Netflix and everything. And I think like really early into the review, he was just like, if you like, basically talked about it without giving away any of it. But I turned off the review really quickly in. I'm not a big fan of spoilers or knowing where things are going. So for me, that this show is perfect for that. I had no idea what I was getting into beforehand. This was just like one of my favorite, especially the first season. But both seasons, I think, are really great. But the first season's one of my favorite seasons of television ever. So I was hooked pretty quickly into it. The hardest thing for me was I was not used to subtitles at that point back when I started this show, which was very different to now. But yeah. Other than that, the show really works with the subtitles, though, because you should not ever have your phone out watching this show.
So. Yeah, this is a show you cannot watch with your phone. I mean, because of the subtitles, but also because of the complexity of the characters and where the story goes. All right, now that we've talked about why we love Dark and why we want to spend all this time digging into it, why don't you give the people a little bit of an overview about what the show is and what it's about without spoiling anything?
I'll go into it with a little bit of assumption that people at least know the one of the things I did not know, but I'll just make an assumption at this point that it is a time travel show. I think of that as very much of a spoiler because, first of all, how this show does time travel is like no other show ever that I've seen, no other movie, no other pop culture that I can remember. It takes maybe some aspects that are familiar, but I think does it in a really creative way. And it's not really about the time travel either. I think it's much more about the dynamics between the families and people within this really small town who all seem to stay in this town generation after generation and continue to have issues with each other. Yet it's like, why doesn't anybody leave this town? But we all kind of know those like small towns that like, it's like everybody just seems to get stuck there. And like even the people that leave end up getting back there. And so it's just a really interesting, unique show. It's really beautifully done. So, and it's just like about, it's more about how people are and how their problems are carried on and, you know, throughout time.
And we really, you know, kind of through the lens of time travel, we get to see multiple generations of four families in Winden, which is the small town in Germany where this show takes place. We see the Nielsens, the Cronwalls, the Dopplers, and the Tiedemanns.
Yep.
And there are other people who aren't in those four families, but we really see how those four families cross into each other and connect with each other among different generations of this family. So it's a really compelling way to look into family. And then also, you know, with that little bit of knowledge that it is about time travel, we get to see we get different ways to view through the lens of this town through all these different time periods.
Yeah, I think, you know, like a lot of sci-fi, they use maybe these elements like time travel or their technology elements, and they end up using those to symbolize like hereditary or family issues or whatever. So
because we see a ton of loops and connections and ways that, you know, the cycle just keeps going, and you see these loops quite literally be created in this show.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, you know, and I think one thing that we both really like is it's a very unpredictable show. So, you know, you go into it, even watching the first episode, you won't see much about the time travel in the first episode. In the first episode is, you know, they call it the German Stranger Things, and you'll kind of understand why when you watch that first episode. But then as you get deeper and deeper into this story, it's just new layers of the onion are unraveled as we talk about this show and as we watch this show.
Yeah, and another thing is that I'm not very familiar with much German media, especially before I started the show. So I don't know how to anticipate the twist that the writers and the director are, you know, throwing in there a lot of the times. Like, there's a lot of tropes with American horror or American psychological horror even, where, like, you can start to kind of see where it's going or it looks kind of familiar with different, like, Netflix shows like Haunting of Hill House. It kind of reminds you of like American Horror Story. You can kind of see the familiar themes as it goes on. Like there's certain twists that in that show I kind of used to from watching American television. This is like nothing on American TV that I can think of.
Yeah, that's a really good point because a lot of shows traditionally have like their big twist in episode, you know, the episode 9 or whatever the penultimate episode is. And Dark, those twists kind of come, you know, throughout. They don't always come at the end of episodes. You get really key information, you know, sometimes really early on in the episode. So it's very unpredictable. You also, you're paying attention. You really have to pay attention the whole time because of the subtitles, because of the intricacies of the plot and the characters. You can't really look away. And so you catch so many little things as you're paying attention. And the subtitles actually assist with that.
Yeah, it's a show that's made for subtitles. I mean, I didn't know when I first started watching the show how intricate it was going to be, how much I was going to want to follow it, and how complicated it was going to be. But because right away you have to be looking at it, I don't know a lick of German. Like, I can't take my eyes off the screen, nor do I want to. But
right, exactly. Yes, you don't want to.
It's just that a lot of Netflix shows are made to be watched while you're playing Sudoku, and this isn't one of those.
Definitely not. No, this is one you got to be all in on if you're going to watch this show. I've made a character chart to help me keep track of who everybody is because there are so many different characters and they're so intertwined among different generations.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that is, you know, one hurdle people have to get past is that not only is it subtitled, but you really have to pay attention and kind of do your homework. But it makes it very rewarding both to watch and then to rewatch it as well.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
And talking about the characters, too, I think, you know, we talked about those four families and there are a lot of characters. But what's nice about this show, as opposed to some other shows that I've watched, is the characters are all so distinct. You really don't get, you know, besides a couple of them, you don't really get them confused. At least I don't, even though, you know, they do, some of them can look alike. You know, it is about a whole bunch of like teen and middle aged German people. But you can tell who everybody is and you're pretty able to tap into people's backstory, which is nice. And, you know, the casting, what they did with the casting is great because you see people at different points in their lives based on the different generations that, as you're traveling to different time periods. But the young versions of the characters look like they could be actual young versions of those actors.
Yeah, the lack of racial diversity in Germany really paying off here because it's much easier to cast. I mean, this is just a show that couldn't exist in America almost. just because of how much, you know, how much things have changed over, you know, a generation or two here. They don't seem to have, especially in this area of Germany, changed really at all.
And that, you know, that might be something for us to watch as we're watching through this is like, you know, this is this small town of Winden. It, you know, a big element of this town is the nuclear factory.
Right.
And, you know, maybe there's a reason for like nobody leaves, nobody comes in. Like, you know, when we talk about it, like maybe there's something to pick up on there. Or is it just that we're just watching a small town that the people don't leave?
Yeah, I mean, when you it's really tough to tell, but it's definitely like one of the things I'm definitely have my eyes on this rewatch.
Yeah, you know, it's a great way to really dive deep into something right now when I think a lot of people are looking for distractions. This show, you can't think about anything else when you're watching this show because it's so intricate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is in German, which is an adjustment with the subtitles, but I think that after, you know, just a portion of the episode, you get pretty used to it. And the subtitles really help because there's a lot of character names to know. So it's good to read them. And there's a lot of details and that can really get conveyed through the subtitles as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, another thing I was thinking as I was just like thinking through this is just that we see just how beautiful this show is shot too. So it's shot in an area of Germany. They've already filmed the third season, which is good because it's coming out next month. And the third season is going to be the last season of the show. So it's a pretty self-contained story. It's not going to be your Walking Dead. That's going to sprawl on for 20 seasons. And that's good because there are so many different connections between people and branches off of this story that having it contained is going to keep it from just getting, you know, too contradictory, too out there. So,
yeah, and I think that's really one of the biggest strengths of the show, without getting into any spoilers, is that when it has a genuine twist, it's genuine. It can happen at any point, and it doesn't just happen to surprise or throw the story off kilter. They really set up the rules of their story and really work within it. I also think that if you've only watched this show one time, you haven't watched it yet. This is a show that requires at least two watches through, in my opinion. And it's just, we'll get into it as we talk more and more about it, but it's just a show that you can watch in so many different ways, I'll say.
And you pick up different things each time. As you see things from the different time periods, you pick up different connections. And
yeah, there's not really, there's no way of
characters.
Yeah, there's no way of really introducing and being like, this is the protagonist, this is the antagonist. It's not really that kind of black and white show as it goes on.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think too, it's really helpful to rewatch it because there is so much to remember, and if spacing it out also is helpful. I know with the last season, I tried not to watch more than one episode a day, and it was like killing me because I wanted to just keep watching. But it's really, I think this is of all shows that I've watched, like one that just is so, it pays off so well when you have a little bit of time to think about it. And, you know, that's why we named this podcast Digesting Dark, because to really think about what you saw and how it ties in. So, yeah, you know, that's what we're intending to do here. We're going to, you know, we're not speeding through even the rewatches. We're not speeding through. We're going to do, you know, a couple of episodes per week, like right now. So we have 4 weeks between right now and when the new season comes out. Mm-hmm. And there are 18 episodes. There are 10 episodes in season one. There are 8 episodes in season two. So we have 4 weeks to go through 18 episodes of Dark. And so that in a month. So that, you know, it's almost a little over once every other day. I think we'll probably have to average out to 4 to 5 episodes a week in order to be done before the 27th. Mm-hmm. But we're going to watch an episode. We'll come back onto this podcast. We'll talk about it. It's going to be a full, you know, discussion based on having seen all of it. So, you know, we encourage you, if you've not seen Dark, to watch it and then come back and listen with us once you've watched through the whole series. If you've watched Dark once, this is a great opportunity to rewatch before the third season comes out. So, you know, watch along with us, watch an episode, listen to the podcast. You know, we'll give our information for social media if you want to send us, you know, your feedback and questions on each episode. You know, it's always, these podcasts are always more fun when they have a little bit of fan interaction. So, and once we kind of figure out what our rhythm is for how often we're recording, I think that will help in terms of timing up people watching the episodes and sending feedback. But Yeah, it's a show that really rewards repeat viewing, and I don't often repeat watch shows just because there's so many new things to watch. But this one, even last year, I rewatched season one before season two came out, and then rewatch season one and season two before season three comes out. So I will be up to speed. And then once season three comes out, we're not going to fly through that either. I don't even think we know how many episodes it is, whether it's 8 or 10. We think it's going to be 8, but I haven't seen an announcement, and I've not really been trying to look for it either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah. So, and I think one of the really unique things about this show is that for me, whenever I watch it, I have a character chart I work from. And we're both looking at a picture of my character chart from season two that I built, and the number of connections between the different characters in this town is what necessitates a character chart. And there aren't that many shows that require this level of homework, I guess, and analysis to go with them. There are others, and I think we could talk about some of the other shows that we both like that we think are, if you like this, you will like that. But it's if you really want to dive deep into something and kind of tune out other things and just have a major distraction, this is the perfect show for that.
Yeah, and it's just like what you're diving deep into with this show. It's I'm like currently trying to work through Twin Peaks because I really do like David Lynch. But with that show, a lot of what you're digging through for me is the like absurdity and like the kitsch of the show and just like how David Lynch is with his things. With this show, what you're digging into is the structure of the show, structure of the plot, really, the characters. It's not like there's just a random, like, crazy thing that you had no idea what was coming with it, necessarily. It's more plot-based things that you're digging into and, like, character-based things. And going into season three, there's not this consensus, this is where it's going, this is how it's going, yet I'm sure by the end of it, it's going to have it wrapped up. This is a show that's felt like it's had an idea of where it's going from the beginning, and it's told its story the way it's wanted to tell it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's a lot of one thing I'm going to have my eyes open on this rewatch is I'm going to be looking for the number 3 everywhere, because threes are hugely significant in this show.
Number 3.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't remember picking up on anything about the number 3, which will be something to watch. But, seeing as this is going to be a third season.
Exactly. I'm not shocked that it was last
three. That's got to be significant. Yeah. I think that, there are things that I like to watch. A lot of times when I watch stuff like this, I really pay attention to colors. I picked that up quite a bit watching Breaking Bad, and even a show, which is less highly regarded, but did a lot with color theory, was House of Cards as well. And this show, especially the color yellow, a few really bright colors you see is yellow, and you see it pretty prominently throughout. So that I think will be a fun thing for me to watch as well.
Also, I think the names are very, very purposeful. Jonas is just very connected to biblical stories and a lot of different, so it's like a show that like has a really fantastic subreddit community also that you can dive deep down also.
This is like the total Reddit show. This is such a Reddit. I've never really read any of the Reddit just because I like don't want to sully anything.
There's no consensus on there still. That's like the great thing. It's just like it is not a Game of Thrones type thing where everybody has an idea of where it's going. I don't know. Like, it's just, there's no show like it to me. The casting is incredible. Maybe part of that is that they're all German, so they kind of look the same, but still, like, the casting, it looks like they casted the same person.
Yeah, I do think the way that they show younger versions of people or family members, sometimes it's the same person, sometimes it's different, and there are times in this show when I actually can't tell if it's the same actor or not. So there's a lot of thought and care that goes into all the elements of this. It's very specifically made. Mm-hmm. Everything is purposeful, I feel like, in this show.
Yeah, the music is amazing. Really underappreciated part of the...
Oh, yeah, it's got a great intro song as well, which
I think intro I watch every time.
Oh, yeah, and the Netflix skip intro button should not exist for this show, along with many other shows, but this one specifically has such a great intro. And I think we'll probably just use that music as our intro music for this podcast, because it's so great, and it fits in. So let's talk. You know, I brought it up earlier. Like, what are some of the things that if people have not watched Dark, are if you like this show, you will like Dark?
So right away, I guess, in general, I think that I hate when I hear people say German Stranger Things for this show. Mm-hmm. It's not even close. It's such a surface level way of looking at this show. I think it's just because of the intro episode and just some of the visual similarity. But I wouldn't say if you watch Stranger Things, you're going to love this show. I don't think that. I think that if you're into, you know, high concept sci-fi, things like Looper, those types of stories, I think are really, really great. Recently, if you like Devs, if you kind of liked the feeling of having a show where it felt like it kind of had an idea from the beginning, how it wanted to tell its story and it told it, and it's, you know, those kind of shows, I think that this is the kind of show for you.
Well, and you brought up Twin Peaks earlier, and the Dark ties in with Twin Peaks. So, I think that's another one. If you like Twin Peaks, this is a more science fiction-y version of Twin Peaks from what I know about it. But I think if you like Twin Peaks, you would like this show as well.
Yeah. I'm only halfway through season two right now, but there's definitely some aesthetics that are very similar. The focus on trees in both shows, now that you mention it, there's a huge focus on giant forests and pines and like just kind of the overabundance of nature in a way in this world that we think we control as people, maybe. I don't know. But like definitely some similarities. Mm-hmm. But what about you?
The first thing that comes to mind is Lost. This show is like Lost, but just like way crazier. Lost, you know, had a lot of science fiction elements. It also had a big focus on the characters and the way the characters were connected at different points in time. And you see that with this, some element of time travel in this show. And Lost season 5 specifically deals a lot with time travel. And some of the ways that Lost deals with time travel are similar to the ways that the Dark deals with time travel. So, you know, I think if you were a Lost fan, I think you would like Dark, especially if you're a Lost fan who felt like they claim they had things written from the beginning, but they started making it up as they went along towards the end, which I sort of agree with that, but also don't agree with that. This show, I think, is much more tightly written. I mean, this show is only 18 episodes so far. You know, even if it's another 10, that's 28 episodes. That's not much more than one season of Lost. So it's they have to be really tight with that. You know, another I think is Back to the Future, which is my favorite movie. Back to the Future, Back to the Future 2, my favorite set of movies. And, you know, dealing with time travel, you got to talk about kind of the original great time travel story, which is Back to the Future. And there are ways I think that we'll talk about similarities. I'm sure that the creators of Dark are fans of Back to the Future based on some of the choices they make. And, you know, a couple other time travel stories that are also great. Primer, if you've never seen Primer. Primer is like the movie version. Primer, every time I've watched that 3 or 4 times, and every time I watch it, I have to read the Wikipedia just to sort out, like, the timeline for what happened when. That's much shorter. That's a little over an hour, whereas this show is 18 hours. So.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think of some other... I do think, like, this German Stranger Things... I get why people say that, because when this show came out 3 years ago, it was like the height of Stranger Things mania.
Yeah.
And it was like the next big Stranger Things.
Kids on a bike, you know, it's right. Yellow is pretty predominant in both shows. I think that's more what it was. And American, you know, audiences sometimes have trouble getting into things if they don't understand something they can reference that's like it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about this show, is there's nothing like it.
Right.
And that's not my favorite things, but one of the things I appreciate about this show is when you come across another person who's seen this show, it's always the same reaction. It's always, oh, yeah. Like, it's never a, like, tepid response.
Right.
Like, this is, I can't imagine just seeing this show and being, if you're only kind of into it, I wouldn't suggest watching it, honestly, because I wouldn't see the point. Like, if you're not understanding and not really caring where things are going, like, there's not, like, huge train battles or car chases or there's been
there is tension though. There is some very intense. I mean, yeah, It's not that there's not tension, but there's not big action set pieces.
Yeah, it's not big action, though. Yeah, it's character. It's smaller. It's you really have to, like, think about if you're one thing I do is I think about if I was in this situation, how much this would destroy, like, my brain. It's made me look at time in my own life completely different, not to sound crazy. But that's just like the show feels so real for being such an unreal story.
I think for me, because we see different generations of these families, it makes me think about time, but also about just kind of like family lineage and like ancestors and, you know, especially for people who stay in the same town that your parents and grandparents and how they interacted and how it leads to, you know, family repeating family mistakes and a lot of cycles in the show. And some of those themes are really, really prominent in this.
Yeah, it goes into like it could, if you could kill baby Hitler type, you know, time travel. It goes into like all the time and it throws them into one show. And rather than feeling like this jumbled mess, like it feels like this organized chaos, almost like an entity in the show introduced later on, like in season two. So like it, the show feels like that almost, where it's just like, this thing where it's like, what is this show? Is it this or is it that, or it's all of that at the same time?
Yeah, the only thing I really hear from people that is a big negative in criticism of this show is, oh, I have to have a character chart for this show. I need to be like taking notes, and I get that. This is a very, advanced level sci-fi show. But it's so rewarding in that aspect because when things start getting resolved and you get more, you just get such a good feeling out of it, and it's so rewarding. And that's why I think both of us are very confident that like however they're able to wrap up this final season, is gonna be very satisfying.
The thing we don't have to question, like with shows like Lost or with Game of Thrones, is how many hands are in the pot of the show. How many, you know. Oh, how many people who have no real creative energy are trying to add their two cents in how they want the show to wrap up so that they can have certain characters or certain people move, you know, like none of that is in this show. Lost was on ABC. There had to be some constraints there. Like HBO, you know, allows their creators to create their stuff, but still there was tons of constraints and the creators didn't create the show that they were trying to tell the end of the story to. Like this.
Yeah, I think the problem that both Lost and Game of Thrones faced was trying to wrap things up too quickly without a plan. So, you know, Game of Thrones especially really rushed that final season because the creators were ready to be done with it. And I think HBO would have let them.
Yeah, they wanted them to
move on to other things. Right. And with Lost, it was they had kind of the opposite problem at first. So that show, they were just like, yeah, just keep making episodes. And finally, the quality, especially in the late stages of season two, early stages of season three, started dipping that, you know, the creators were like, we need an end date. Like, we have this final end story we want to tell, so we need to start setting that up. And that's when season four and season five of Lost got real. I mean, those are the two best seasons because they was really focused on what they were trying to tell. The problem was then they just tried in season six to cram so much in, and so it left some people unsatisfied at the end of Lost.
Yeah, I just think with a show like this, the more that the creators are in control of where the show goes, the better. And that's what Netflix does, for better or for worse at times, but like that's what they do. Like, this show is not made to be binged, I agree, but that's part of being with Netflix, is they're like,
right.
Which makes no sense, but that's another podcast for another day. But releasing the entire season in 1 week, everybody forgets about it.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody forgets why. And like, I feel like whenever I binge a show, which isn't often, but when I watch a ton of episodes in a very short period of time, it's hard for me to remember what happened. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I space it out, and especially this, where we're going to space it out and we're going to talk, but we're going to watch an episode, stop, talk about the episode before we watch the next one. We're really going to be digesting it before we move on to the next meal. And we hope that, you know, some listeners, by the time that season three starts, will be along for the ride with us to do that. And we'll watch, you know, won't just rush through the episodes, you know, and I think you and I will probably have to be a little bit careful once the season drops, because I'm sure there are people who are just going to watch the whole thing, and avoiding spoilers is going to be that's always an issue with something like this.
Yeah, but so, I'll find a way. Yeah,
I think we'll be fine. So yeah, we decided to start this podcast and this rewatch of Dark this week because the trailer for season 3 just came out. Netflix just released that. In addition to the release date for season 3, which is going to be June 27th, 2020, which is, happens to be a significant date in Dark itself. And neither of us have watched that trailer, correct? You haven't watched the trailer yet?
Of course not.
No. Because we want to go in as blind as possible. So instead of watching the trailer, we're just going to restart the series and watch seasons 1 and 2 again.
Yeah.
Which is another really cool thing this show does is the dates when the seasons actually drop are significant to the plot of the show. So last season started, I think, on June 21st, which was the significant date in the show last year. Yep. And that was June 21st, 2019. But I think the date in the show is June 21st, 2020. And June 27th, 2020 is an important date. And that's when, you know, so that's when this season is coming out. So it's really great that they were able to get everything aligned. And they were so meticulous with creating the show that they were able to keep it on schedule to be released on this significant date in 2020.
Yep.
So it was planned. That just kind of shows the care and craftsmanship that they have.
Yeah, it was all planned. The threes are now you'll be looking for the threes everywhere. I'm going to be looking for the threes everywhere. But, you know, it's like the past, present, future thing. It's Sigmundus, the logo or whatever above Sigmundus. I know it's not a logo, but the symbol above Sigmundus. It's the infinity sign with the extra loop there. It's just we've had a couple different aspects introduced through the first two seasons. In this third season, they're going to add something else. So what is that thing that they're going to add while also allowing it to wrap everything up? I just can't wait because the end is the beginning. There's just so many different quotes as we go through. I'm going to try to really write down quotes as I'm watching because it's all there. Yeah. I think that first magic trick that Mads does is showing so much.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, and I think it's, you know, we were talking yesterday and I said it's going to be really hard for me to take notes for each episode because you can't really look away. I mean, my version of taking notes is really kind of developing out this character chart. But, you know, usually when I'm on a podcast or something else, like I can take, you know, I can kind of type out notes, but it's going to be a lot harder to do that with the subtitles and really not being able to look away, you know, for risk of missing a detail.
Yeah, so. I'm going to pause at the end of scenes, actually, just because I've seen it so many times at this point. I've seen the first season legitimately 12 times all the way through.
Yeah, well, because you watch it every time you're on a plane. Dark is I'm going to call it Lost a ton, I'm sure. Dark is your plane show.
Yes. Correct? Yeah, because, I mean, while I do love the music, like, I can miss out a little bit of the music and, like, I don't understand German. So, like, the plane, if I'm next to a plane engine or something when we could fly, you know, it, like, doesn't matter, like, because I'm locked into a show, and it allows no flights go quicker than when you're watching like 2 or 3 episodes of Dark, and you're just staring at like it's like a VR thing almost. Like,
yeah.
So it's just a show that anytime I get to suggest it, I always do.
Yeah, it's always my number one suggestion to people when they ask me if I should I watch this, and I say you know, we hope that if you have not watched Dark, that this podcast was give you a reason to watch. If you need more reasons, you know, you can let us know and we can tell you more. Our plan is probably tomorrow, if things go right, we will record an episode on episode 1 from season 1, so the premiere of Dark. And that one we'll do from a little bit of a non-spoiled perspective. So if you just want to watch episode 1 and come back that episode for the first probably half of that podcast, just from only that episode in isolation without knowing anything else. And then we'll move on to talking about it, having overall knowledge of where the show is going, where the characters are going. And then moving forward after episode 1, every episode we will be covering from a full you've watched the whole series perspective. So, you know, we might talk about things in episode 2 that relate to the season 2 finale. And where we know things are going, just because it's perspective, because so much is tied in. But we do want to, you know, we do want to try to on-ramp as many people into watching this show as possible. So if you want to watch episode 1 and want just kind of a recap of what you saw from a non-spoiled perspective, we'll do that in episode 1.
Yep.
So, that's our plan. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be a very busy month, but I think at the end of this, we'll have almost a like a dark audiobook where we have each episode recapped season one through season three. You know, a little over a month from now, we'll know how Dark ended and, you know, what happened with all these characters.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad that after season three, there's no more of the show. I mean, it's great that it's so contained, but I don't look forward to many more shows more than this one.
Yeah, it's better for a show to die a hero than live long enough to see it be a villain.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. So you can find Dark on Netflix. You might have to search for it, although I'm hoping they're promoting it a little bit more with the new season coming out than question mark number of episodes in the third season. So I wonder if, because what are they? They're at 18, so 27 episodes. So if they did 9 episodes in the third season, that would be 27, which you talked about threes being significant. That's divisible by 3. That's 9 times 3. So maybe that's what they'll do.
Yeah. I don't want to look into it at all. I don't even want to know how long the episodes are.
Right. Agreed. So, if you start watching, it might be helpful to make a little character chart just so you know who people are. Don't Google anything about this show if you've not watched it, because that is a terrible idea and you will get you spoiled. But the character chart definitely is helpful in terms of keeping the different families. If you base it around having the four families and build it out from the Nielsens, the Cronwells, the Dopplers, and the Tiedemanns, that's helpful as well.
So. Yeah.
Anything else you want to tell people about the show, or, you know, if they're starting this journey or they're starting the rewatch?
Nope. I think I've said enough. Yeah, I'm looking forward to going through this. Honestly, like, I have no idea where they're going in season three. So I'm really interested if during this, like, deep dive into these seasons, if it allows me to formulate more of a picture. Because I have very little idea of where they're going, and that feels amazing. It feels great. It doesn't feel like I don't have an idea where it's going because I'm confused. I just genuinely don't know. So I'm looking forward to seeing if having a real focus and, you know, breaking it down is going to make a huge difference, or if it's still maybe in a way makes it more confusing.
We convinced you to watch Dark or convinced you to rewatch Dark. Even if, you know, we encourage everybody to rewatch, but even if you're not going to rewatch, hopefully this podcast can be can help you remember what happened in the first two seasons of Dark. Mm-hmm. So you're prepared when the third season comes out. But, you know, the rewatch always makes it more fun. So.
Yeah, for sure.
And we'll figure out things along the way that we want to do, whether it's like, I know some rewatch podcasts, they do like episode ratings. I mean, they all kind of come together. So it's like, it would be hard to rate individual episodes of Dark. But, you know, maybe like what character won the episode or something, you know, we can figure out if there's fun things we want to do, you know, as we go. So, but yeah, and if you've not subscribed and you want to be along with us, you know, our podcast is called Digesting Dark. Follow us into Netflix's Dark. So it should be on all podcast platforms soon once we get a couple episodes posted. So that will be a good way that you'll know when all of our new episodes come out. And you can follow both of us, too. I mean, I'm more active on Twitter, I think, than you are. But I'm at BrooksZA. On Twitter, and you know, I'll tweet out these links to the podcast when they come out.
Yeah, and I'll support those on Twitter, but I'm not on Twitter too much. But yeah, I'm more of a Facebook and Letterboxd user. But
yes, oh yeah, we both are on Letterboxd. Although, do not log Dark on Letterboxd because Dark is a TV show and Letterboxd is for movies.
Right, but yeah, I'm around there, and then so yeah, definitely would be open to answering any questions. I'm going to be sharing this with a lot of different people, hopefully. This is their converting effort into watching the show. I've been bothering them about for about 3 years now. So
yeah, let us know if you have questions about. I mean, I guess, you know, we're probably going to record the next one before people hear this. But if you're rewatching and you have feedback on different episodes, definitely let us know. If you tweet them at me at BrooksZA, then I'll make sure that we talk about them in the episode. And, you know, I think it's just going to be a really good way to do exactly what the title of this podcast says. We're going to digest Dark. We're not just going to binge it all and watch it really quickly. We're going to really take our time with it and break down what happens and appreciate the work of art that it is.
Absolutely. That sounds great.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to our introductory podcast. We'll be back with a discussion of episode one very soon. In the meantime, keep following us into that cave. Keep following us into those time portals. And we will see you on the next episode of Digesting Dark.